You know, I mean, hey, this, maybe this is God's will. No, it ain't. Sickness, disease, lack is never God's will. You'll never find that in the Word of God. But you'll find it in your emotions and your experience and in your feel. You'll find it in your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, but not in the Word of God. The will of God is the Word of God. We're in a series entitled Supernatural Life. This is part 5. Let's go over to John chapter 8 and verse 31. You know, I teach a lot from this because there's so much that we can get from it. You know, Word Life is a place to connect with God, to belong to a family and grow in your kingdom assignment. And the reason why you and I attaching to and growing in our kingdom assignment is so important is because if we are not in alignment with the reason God created us, then we're living a distracted life. We're chasing a path that God didn't carve out for us. And that is never God's best. And I'm believing that you and I can walk in God's best and accomplish everything that he has tasked for you and I to accomplish. John 8, 31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If we do not abide in his word, are we his disciples?'" Found that so important to understand because the rest of this scripture is talking to those who make a decision to abide. And it's easy to attach our names to being a Christian and not understanding that there really is a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. A Christian, as good as it is, stops at listening. A Christian will hear, but a disciple will do. You know, when the woman that had the issue of blood was pressing through the crowd, all those who were around Jesus was thronging him, bumping into him, crowding him. Healing and virtue was available, but it was the one who sought out him and grabbed a hold of him that received. Can we agree virtue was available for everybody in the crowd? I submit to you this morning that being a Christian is not why Jesus died. Jesus said, "Follow me." If I choose not to follow him, the rest of that doesn't apply. If we are not fishers of men, what are we doing? It is so worth highlighting and taking our time to look at that. The rest of that passage goes on to say, "If you abide in me, your word," you talked to us about believing him. If you abide, that word abide means to hang out. It means to dwell. When you dwell, when you hang out with somebody, you begin to talk like them. You begin to think like them. You begin, there's some parallels that begin to show up in your life when you're hanging out with, am I telling the truth? "And you shall know the truth." How? By abiding. The truth is taught to us when we choose to follow and we choose to abide. We don't get to skip. We don't get to skip to the end of the scripture and claim that. Family, I would like to announce that there's a bunch of Christians who are not free. And Jesus is not obligated to make them free. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you don't, you are not. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The first thing we want to jump into is don't leave your hopes and dreams to chance. Every one of us has been excited about a fresh January. Every one of us created a list. Every one of us have been to the place where our hopes and dreams were jacked way up because we got a brand new calendar. And yet, so many of those items are left undone. Family, I encourage you, don't leave your hopes and dreams to chance. Believe with me for a conscious awareness and an increased appetite for the promises of God to manifest in your life. Make this the year that you do and not just hear. Be a doer, because the promise applies to you if you do. It's so easy to miss, because if there's no expectation or if there's no accountability for God-like results in our life, we will create and live a superficial life. And the reason why I believe God has me speaking on it right now is because he desires for you to live a supernatural life. He desires to use you. He desires to replenish, to refresh, to restore. He desires, listen to me, you are enough. There is hope for you. There is a plan for you. There is a heavenly strategy laid out for you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're supposed to succeed. You're supposed to succeed. I pray that a fresh grace would rest on all of us. Those of you who are watching online, I'm praying that you would have discernment and a sensitivity like never before. That causes you to move forward. There is an absolute distraction that I've seen on every level where the human contact, the eye-to-eye is under attack. And God's people are content with a one-on-one relationship with their devices. Content. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's missing. Family, that's not right. I believe God is saying, look up. I believe he is saying, look who I'm bringing around you. Look who, don't walk past that young man. Don't walk past that young lady. Look up, let me use you. Choose to be a vessel. Choose to give me you. Family, this is a call to action. I think that's my subtitle. Is that my subtitle? A call to action. There's a promised land in front of you. No one is going to pick you up and carry you into the promised land. You ever think about that? Nobody's throwing you over their back and carry you until you and I have to make the decision to walk into our promised land. Here's the misnomer there. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is you and I walking in authority and receiving and benefiting from all the promises that Jesus died for. Our promised land is right in front of us. What are we going to do? Family, you're not You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. The supernatural has been left to you. If something supernatural is going to happen, it's going to be because you and I do something. We have to do something to with what Jesus already did. Jesus meant it when he says it's finished. He didn't say it's finished for you. Jesus didn't say it was finished for you and I. We should not be sitting down. Our work is not finished. We are supposed to be running the race, and the race is set before us. How many opportunities do we have to go on the sidelines and deal with the hecklers or deal with the different stuff that's going on the sideline? The finish line will never be on the sidelines. The finish line will never be with bickering with our families, our friends, our coworkers. The finish line will always be before us. We have to keep moving forward. And that has to be done intentionally. That is never, the devil is never going to let you move forward. He's going to make sure you got a crazy cousin somewhere starting something. He's going to make sure Sister Show Enough or Brother Do Good is going to get on your nerves. He's gifted at sending them folks. You have to make the decision. It's forward. The finish line is forward. It's always forward. I got to choose to go forward. And I'm believing that God opened up doors, opened up our eyes to live a supernatural life. You know why? It lasts longer. How many of you remember when you said yes to Jesus? Raise your hand. If you remember when you said yes to Jesus, you know, you will never forget it. Why? It was supernatural. We forget different people in high school. We forget the colors of our school. We forget phone numbers. We forget the group of guys we hung. We forget the natural things. We forget the natural, but we never forget the supernatural. It will be with us forever. God is desiring to have the miraculous be normal in your life. I constantly pray that, Lord, make the supernatural normal. Make it normal. Make it to where we of course, like, of course we're going to rejoice and like praise God, but it's just another one. Of course. Of course you keep your word. How many of you have ever had somebody in your life that was just honest, upright, their word was sure? You could count. If they said they were going to do something, they were going to do it. How many of you have something like that in your life? If they said, hey, come over, I got something for you. I just want to bless you. If you can come over Monday around 10 a.m., you know, I just got put something on my heart. I want to bless you. How many of you would wait till Thursday? How many of you would, now I know they said there. How many of you would do that? None of us. We'd be there at 9:45. You said you got something. Why aren't we like that with God? His promises are yes and amen. He's the only one in our lives that will never lie. And we'll go across town for a man's word. What are we willing to do for God? May God use us and make a supernatural difference in other people's lives. It's crucial that we live a life that illustrates the goodness of God. A supernatural life will always, please hear this, will always be an abundant life. A supernatural life will always be an abundant life. Abundance and supernatural go hand in hand. You serve a too good God, a too much God. You serve an overflowing God. He will always do over and above. May he use us in a supernatural way. this year. May your hopes and dreams be ignited like never before, with real power behind it. Not just hopes and dreams, but real power, real tangible power behind it. Let's go to John 10:10. If it's going to be supernatural and it's going to happen in our lives, we will have to participate, family. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief does not come except, does everybody know who the thief is? He does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, how? When Jesus shows up, so does abundance. Bondage is the opposite of abundance. Bondage produces lack. Don't ever allow your mind to associate humility with lack. Don't ever. Make sure it is crystal clear that God wants me to succeed. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to have enough for me and then some. And here's the deal, family. If you don't want more, that's called selfish. If you don't want more, you are saying, Lord, I'm good with me, my four, and no more. I'm good. I know you got an agenda. I know you got people you want to touch, but I'm good. To not want more is selfish. Can we agree God wants to help people? Here's the deal. He wants to use you to help people. Walk into your promised land. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they is us. See, that they is me. May have abundant life. Abundance well managed is what humility is. Humility is not rubbing two nickels together, praying and hoping, wishing. Humility is taking the abundance that Jesus died for and managing it well, being a steward of what he pours out. Abundance for the purpose of blessing others is the only way to advance the kingdom. We're not advancing the kingdom if we can't bless others. If we can't be a resource, we're never going to be the source, but we're supposed to be a resource. Jesus showed us when there was no solution, he became the solution. Jesus fed thousands with a two-piece fish dinner. He became the solution. He looked up, heard what the Father said, and applied it. And thousands benefited from it. Can we look up? Can we hear the Father? We can be the solution. We can be a resource to help the hopeless, the hurting, the lost, and the dying. That's God's plan. And while we're at it, destroy the works of the devil. When we show up, the devil begins to tremble. Walk into your promised land. Look at your neighbor and say, walk into your promised land. The promised land for Israel was leaving Egypt and going into Canaan. The promised land for you and I is leaving our sin nature and walking into a life of freedom, victory, fulfillment. You and I are supposed to walk into our promised land. I believe there's things that the Lord wants to teach us. I believe there's some deposits that he wants to make inside of us this morning. You can experience freedom in every area. You can experience freedom in things that have been going on for years. You can be free from it. It can be broken today. We have to know that. We have to expect that we can't get accustomed, we can't come to a place where we say, you know, I've prayed for that before, nothing happened. You know, I tried that and, you know, I just, maybe this is God's will. No, it ain't. Sickness, disease, lack is never God's will. You'll never find that in the Word of God. But you'll find it in your emotions and your experience and in your you'll find it in your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, but not in the Word of God. The will of God is the Word of God. You're supposed to be free. We can experience freedom in every single area. Don't stop sharing. Here's the thing. God wants to use us. God wants to happen to us to where our love for him grows so intense that we can't stop sharing what he's doing. That's what he's after. He's after a walking, living testimony. Everywhere you go, you can't help, but you got to share. I wouldn't be walking right now. I gotta share you. I wouldn't even be here right now. I gotta share with you what Jesus did for me. That's what he's after. Jesus died so that those who follow him could live according to his kingdom. And there's no lack in his kingdom. There's no sickness in his kingdom. There's no depression. There's no anxiety. There's no worry or there's fear. There's no, don't let that be normal to you. That has got to be our staple. Amen. Don't accept anything as normal in your life that's not normal in the kingdom of God. Amen. Take action. The next point, take action. Do something about what we're receiving. Do something about what we're hearing. Take action. Jesus illustrated when there was an issue at the wedding, he just said, fill up the water pots. He didn't say, oh, me, what are we gonna do? He became a solution. How? He listened. Nobody in that room tapped Jesus on the shoulder and said, guess what? I got an idea. I know they just ran out. I got an idea. Come here, Jesus. How did he hear that? He listened to the Father. Can you listen to the Father? You can be the solution. You can tap into the source and be a resource in every situation. We have to believe that, family. We have to settle that because the devil wants you to think you're not enough. How can I pray for somebody to be healed when I'm not healed myself? Have you ever heard that before? All of us, just go and raise your hand up. Go and raise your hand up because all of us heard that. Is that true? However, how tangible is that? If you're going through something, if you walk in limping and you see somebody limping, in our minds, it doesn't make sense to lay hands on them. As if it's ever us. As if... You know, if I'm whole, that means I qualify to deliver wholeness. It is never gonna be you. God is never gonna use you because of you. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Never. All he's looking for is willing vessels. That's it. Just be willing. Just be willing. Jesus has never had a qualified individual yet be used. Noah was a drunk. David was a murderer and an adulterer. He has never, we can't look at one person in the Bible, minus Jesus, and say, oh, okay, I see why. Oh, I see why God used them. Oh my goodness, they lived a spotless life. Paul, nope. Peter, nope. We will never find a perfect, do you think you're gonna be the first one? Let's get out of our way and just be vessels. Amen. Let's go to John 14:12. I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard. Miracles followed Jesus wherever he went. His reality impacted every road that he walked on. I submit to you, he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to duplicate what he did. And my proof text is that is John 14, 12. And it says, truly, truly. Why does it say truly, truly? Hey, hey. That's when you get somebody's attention. If I say, okay, y'all sit back down. You were socializing. Okay, y'all sit back down. Jesus is saying, I'm about to say something important. I need your attention. I need you to listen up right now. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, why is he taking the time to grab us by the collar to get this truth in us? Because it's mind-blowing. Our minds can't receive it. He's trying to get a hold of our spirit man so he can speak into us, because our minds will dismiss it. I'm not worthy, Lord. You can't be talking about me. I did this, I did that. I came from this background. You can't be talking about me. No, he's saying, truly, truly, I'm talking to you. Listen up. Let this get in. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Your mind's not going to grab that. None of our minds goes, okay, yeah, of course. Of course, Jesus, I'm gonna walk on water. Of course, Jesus, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. And they're going to, of course, Jesus, I'm going to pray. And it's going to multiply. Of course, Jesus. No, our minds is going to say, how? If we listen in to the still small voice, if we listen in, get beyond the distraction, he'll tell us how. He will speak. That still small voice requires your attention. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. He should have put another truly in there for there to be greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Did he go to the Father? And he left us another. He left us a comforter. He left us a helper that is well able to take it from here. He's well able to do the heavy lifting in our life. He's well able to lead us right where he wants us to be. Heaven invaded earth wherever Jesus walked, and he wants it to invade earth wherever we walk. You know, disciples look like who their master is. They begin to conduct themselves. You know, it's like a journeyman teaches an apprentice. And at some point, that apprentice becomes a journeyman who should take on an apprentice. That's a great picture of how the kingdom of God should work concerning disciples. How will we do greater works, family? How will you and I do greater works than Jesus? By following him. By being led by the Holy Spirit and following him. Jesus impacted the world with abundance and is asking us to follow in his footsteps by doing what he did. Matthew 4:19 talks about becoming fishers of men. We were never, the family, Jesus did not die on the cross, be buried, die a murderer, a sinner's death, be buried, go to hell, rise on the third day for you and I to be spectators. Jesus, his intent was never for you and I to be entertained concerning his word. His word was never supposed to be a show. It was supposed to be instructions for you and I to be disciples, to be the doers. Let's go to James 1, 21. Say, I'm a doer of the word, not just a hearer. James 1, 21, still in the New American. James 1, 21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remains of wickedness. What? You mean you want me to do that, Jesus? Is this how you want me to carry myself? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Man, there's so much there. I'll dive in a little bit. But prove yourselves doers of the word. Follow. How can we prove ourselves doers of the word? Do it. There's no proof if nothing takes place. There's evidence. The evidence of us being followers of Jesus should be disciples. Should be healings. Should be people being filled with the Holy Spirit. People saying yes to Jesus and receiving forgiveness. People being baptized in water. There should be evidence of us following Jesus. True or not true? Verse 30 or 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. He will forget that he's saved. Forget that he's delivered. Forget that he's the head, not the tail. Forget that he's supposed to walk in abundance. Forget not doing the word is deceiving ourselves. Verse 21 says, put aside all filthiness, wickedness, be humble and receive the word. Filthiness and wickedness and not being humble will prevent us from receiving the word. We receive the word because sometimes the word's going to tell us to do something we don't want to do. Sometimes the word is going to require us to think a way that we don't normally think. For example, forgive. How many times? None of us would have come up with that. None of us. Let me see. 7 times 3. That's good. That sounds fair. We'll get ourselves a little quorum. 3. 7 times 3. That's good. That's good for you. Sometimes the greatest sharpening of ourselves is going against ourselves. Going against our mindsets, going against the way it's always been. Family, if you find yourself doing something that you've always done, that can't be good. That can't be good because we're believing God for more. If you're not good with what you have right now, don't settle for doing what you've always done. Verse 22 says, be a doer of the word. That means take action, not just hearing. Listening and learning will never get the job done. What we need is to get good at doing. Verse 25 says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. What is that talking about? But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. We have to get our identity from the Word of God, not Mama Nim. We have to get our identity from the Word of God. Jesus, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing a Bible plan, read through the Bible in 90 days. And I did it years ago. And it is so powerful to take a chunk of the Word like that. And you just begin to almost interact with the different individuals in the Word. We got to find ourselves in the Word, not in our feelings or emotions or the opinions of people. This has got to be the source. We have to know and understand that we could live the life that we see in the Word of God. If it's in the Word, we can have it in our lives. A supernatural life comes from following a supernatural Christ. If you and I are going to walk a supernatural road, it's because we're following a supernatural Lord. Come with me to Romans 8:14. Following the presence of the Spirit of God is absolutely central to all advancement, all progression and growth for every one of us. Making that our priority is everything. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And that sons is talking, that's speaking of sonship. It's not gender. It's not saying there's no daughters. It's not just you and I following principles. It's following his presence. Following him, abiding in him, turning to him, and confiding in him. I had a person share with me last week that they were something was going on, and they were getting ready to call me, and the Lord said, No, you need to bring that to me first. I thought, man, that was powerful. That needs to be our reflex. Every one of us have somebody on speed dial a thing anymore? That's not even a thing anymore, huh? Every one of us have somebody we'll go to out of reflex. Oh, I got a call. What about him? What if our response was, Lord, we got to talk. Lord, do you believe what just happened? Lord, did you see what they just did? Lord, did you hear? That's different. That's choosing to be a disciple. That's choosing to have a real tangible relationship. And family, and I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but I'm not in this to make converts. It's about making disciples. You know, I found out disciples just last longer. They do. I'm thinking of a friend of mine who was converted, but now he's converted to something else. He was following Jesus. That would have never happened. There should be an ever-increasing sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in our lives. There should be, we should be able to look back this time next year and be blown away. There should be increase. There should be more. Our sensitivity should increase. My desire is to advance the kingdom, and that should become an outbreak. That's what we're talking about. His focus and his plan should impact my direction. You become who you hang out with. John 15:7 says, this is the Amplified. It says, if you live in me, abide vitally, united to me, my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Jesus is saying, if you hang out with me, my words will become your words. And those words will get deep inside of your heart. They'll get rooted in your heart. And the results that you have will come from what you say. And the ambition was never be about self. It'll never be for self-gain. You can't spend time in the presence of God and be selfish. It's just impossible. You cannot bask in his presence and be in awe of who he is and think about you. That's just not the way that works. I believe God is trying to manifest himself. I believe he is looking for those who want to host his presence. Supernatural life is available. The Holy Spirit will occupy whatever space we give him. What are you willing to give him? What are you willing? He has offered us a role of co-laboring with him. Let's take him up on that. Let's do some exciting adventures with the Holy Spirit this year. He wants us to impact the people around us. He wants the people around you to benefit from the God inside of you. Let them. Let's go to application and wrap this up. Everybody got notes? If you don't have notes, raise your hand. Everybody have notes? Anybody do not have notes? If you don't have notes, raise your hand. If you're not here, raise your hand. What's number one say? Family, don't just hear the word. That's not enough. Don't just hear the word. Do something about it. Do something with what you hear. What's number two say? Pursue the upward call. Fight forward. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 that press forward. Press forward. What God has for you is in front of you. Don't look back. You know what? 2024 is gone. Don't look back. What God has for you is in front of you. Choose to grab hold of what's in front of you. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal of the prize for the upward call. The upward call. There, God is calling you and I up to do something about advancing the kingdom and our spheres of influence. What's number three? Walk into your promised land. Don't let anything stand in your way, family. Don't let anything stand in your way for freedom. If you need to repent from something, repent. Turn away. Repent means to change your thinking, change your direction. If there's anything going on in your life and it's hindering you from your promised land, from your place of fulfillment, turn around. Go the other direction. Start thinking different. Start thinking you are worthy because of who's in you. Start thinking you do deserve it because he died for you. Jesus didn't make a mistake. If you were the only one on the planet, he would have accomplished his assignment for you. What's number, where we at? Number four. Desire more. There are people hurt and lost all around you. Don't get caught up with your agenda. Use me, Lord. Let that be your request. Use me, Lord. Use me. And what's the last one? Be thankful. You know, we are in a time where entitlement is almost the definition of our culture in America. You know what breaks that every time? Thankfulness. Thankfulness will break that every single time. We need to be thankful. Being thankful is a action of humility that allows God to take it from there. Be thankful. Be grateful for what he's done. You know, if there's anybody here who's never said yes to Jesus, I don't ever want to take it for granted. Those who are watching online, if you've never said yes to Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to receive the forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for. If you're here today, you've never said yes to Jesus, I believe that the Holy Spirit will begin to tug on you in such a way that it's obvious. You need Jesus. We want to give you an opportunity to receive. If you need healing, if you need physical healing or emotional healing, we want to give you an opportunity to receive. If you need healing in your body, healing is available. Healing is available right now. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's available.